The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Neisha Dolan is with me now, the Irish author, and she is with me in studio, but she is not going to be long for this particular world. She is flying to Italy tomorrow. Is that right, Neisha?
That's right.
So you are flying to Italy tomorrow and then you are joining this flotilla on its way to Gaza. So tell me a little bit about how you came to be involved and the boat that you're going to be on.
Sure. I've been involved in Palestine activism for quite a while, but the flotilla specifically came into my life around a month ago, and I'd been aware of the previous flotillas, of course, and supported what they did and thought I'd love to contribute some way if the chance ever came. So then I joined the Samoud flotilla and was in Tunisia since late August. And in the end, my boat and many other boats had to be cancelled because we kept coming up against various obstacles. There were repair issues, there were fuel shortages, there were problems with permits for ports, etc. But I came home and then immediately got an offer to join this next wave of boats that are coming from Italy. So I'm going back to join them.
So we've been speaking to Tadhg Hickey at different points on the journey. And, I kind of asked him, what was his function on the boat? And he was very honest about it. He said, well, listen, I don't know one end of a boat from another, but I've got a platform so I can communicate what we're doing to people. That's a similar situation with you, is it?
Absolutely. They're crying out not only for politicians and doctors and sailors, but for people who can write, people who can talk to the media, people who can broadcast what we're doing, because we're here to amplify what's happening in Gaza and to challenge our governments and to raise public outrage against the complicity that we all have in the genocide. And so if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, in this case, the tree did not fall. So we need voices and platforms alongside.
And tell me this, the cargo that you have on board is what? Is it a similar cargo to all the other ships? It's food, it's medical supply, it's aid, it's things like that?
Yeah, it's basic necessities that no one could possibly use except to sustain human life during a genocide, which makes it outrageous that anyone would want to stop us.
How concerned or otherwise are you about what might happen after you leave Italy?
I'm realistically aware of the chances. I know that since 2010, Israel has intercepted or attacked every single flotilla, that they've been making threats about us, including two drone strikes, one of which Tadhg Hickey was on the boat. But equally, you just have to accept that that's part and parcel of challenging a power like Israel, and that anything that happens to us is so insignificant compared to what they're doing every single day in Gaza. So we can stand for that or we can resist. And I want to be on the side that is resisting.
Mm. I mean, it's insignificant, of course, in the grander scale in terms of the raw numbers. But I mean, from an individual basis, I mean, not to be kind of glib about it, but, you know, death is death. I mean, you know, have you reconciled yourself with that reality that a drone strike on a boat could see that boat sink? And if you sink out in the middle of the Mediterranean, you might not all survive.
I have, but the chance is statistically low, whereas your survival odds in Gaza are considerably more in peril. So just keeping that perspective and thinking about why we're doing it. We're not doing it to have a cruise. We're doing it because people are being brutally murdered day after day with Western funding, and we can't sit back and let that happen.
What was the atmosphere like in Tunisia amongst those in the flotilla as they waited to depart?
There's a great solidarity, even when we came across all these obstacles. And by and large, the response was just to become more determined and to remember why we're doing this and to stand together. And I think often people feel quite isolated about Gaza at home because you're just sitting watching all these horrendous things on your phone, feeling powerless. And so there was something quite powerful about being in this room with all these people who had committed in the same way to challenging the blockade. And I just felt it was the best company I've been in my life.
And your family or your friends here, how do they feel about you joining the flotilla?
Obviously, they're aware of all the ways that it could go as well, but no one tried to persuade me not to do it. No one challenged my reasoning for doing it. They all agree with the cause and the necessity, even if it's human to have personal feelings about it too. So they're just all doing the best that they can to support me. And a huge element of that is stepping up Palestine activism at home. And it's really heartened me to see how people I care about, who've cared about Palestine for a long time, but haven't necessarily been too actively engaged, they've amped it up too, because it's now linked to my safety as well. And that's the human link that people sometimes need, I think, to get involved.
So there's been this narrative for the last little while that maybe the tide was turning internationally, you know, that there was more and more focus. There were more countries willing to use that word genocide, you know, more world leaders. You know, even the British government and what have you, talking that they're not, they don't accept the genocide consensus, but talking about recognizing the Palestinian state. At the same time, you've got this ground offensive that's going on regardless in Gaza. You certainly have the Israeli government showing no sign of their gallop being halted. You've got news today that NICAP are not going to be allowed into Canada because, you know, of accusations that they were waving Hamas or Hezbollah flags. You've got Sally Rooney, your fellow author as well, saying that she couldn't accept a Sky Arts Award in person because the event was on in the UK and she feels she'd be arrested if she enters the United Kingdom because of her support for Palestinian action. You know, so it's, I guess it's a long-winded way of saying it's hard to know really which way the wind is blowing, is it?
Yes, and I think we pay a lot of attention to what politicians say when we need to follow the money. And on that front, there have been few to no moves to actually sanction Israel. And until that point, it's actually quite immaterial in a direct sense whether they say genocide or don't they, because if you're still doing trade with Israel, you're not treating it like a genocide. And if you're not going to treat it like one, there's some point in saying the word in terms of shifting opinion, but it's still changing very little on the ground. So I think we need to pressure them on policy and not pay so much attention to rhetoric.
So you're flying out tomorrow morning to Italy. Do you know when you'll be leaving Italy? Is there a timetable?
Yes, we're sailing on the 24th.
So the 24th, maybe you said that. And how long do you suspect it's going to take you to reach Gaza?
7 to 10 days, we were told to expect, but we are truly dragging out sailing season beyond its natural duration at this point, so we'll see.
All right. Listen, Nisha, stay well and stay safe, and we might talk to you en route. All right.
Please.
Thanks a million
for
joining us. Nisha Dolan, the Irish author.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.